Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Final Fantasy VII Remake is over. Except it's never really over. We're back, and the Hell House is in the rear view mirror for now. There's always, you never know if the Hell House may return. Adam looks so upset.
For now!
I am Brooklyn Ted. I'm here with my co-host Adam. I just scared him by mentioning that the Hell House might return.
Oh my god. I'm terrified. And said I've lost my inspiration. I don't know where it went.
Your muse.
Can you find it? Can you find my inspiration?
Yeah, I can go on a wild goose chase of trade a thing for a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it, and I'll bring you some juice or something, and you'll be fine.
Don't you mean the sauce?
Oh, yeah, the sauce. I got the sauce.
You got the sauce?
Yeah. Here in New York, we got the sauce.
You got the sauce. Yeah, there's always some sauce around.
So we are back with the second half of Chapter 9, the highlight banner chapter of the game in some ways. I think there's so much going on here. As I have said, I think every time we've mentioned Wall Market, I feel like this could be its own game. The world is so full. There are so many little nooks and crannies you can shove yourself into and find people hiding in corners and stuff. So it's two podcasts covering Chapter 9, the town that never sleeps, which is Wall Market. And when last we left our heroes, Cloud and Aerith had just finished all their battles at the Colosseum, including the extra battle against the previously mentioned Hell House. And now they can go to Madame M and get that million gil dress that they bargained for.
Yeah, we did our job. We did all of the things we had to do to get our quest, but famously, dress making? I don't know if she's making this dress or if she just has it and is choosing, whatever. This is going to take a while. And so, you know, we have to figure out a way to occupy our time while this dress is being, again, is she making it? Is she just trying? Fitting it, maybe?
I think the part that's going to take a long time is the hair and makeup.
Oh, the hair and makeup. Okay. Yeah, I guess the hair is like decently different than what it was before. I don't know if it was like crazy different because Aerith already had kind of a lot going on with her hair. Although maybe
no,
that
she
means
was
it makes
so
it
plain.
Longer. Yeah, so plain. Yeah, it's just plain Jane over there.
Very homely.
Yes. yeah, not words I would use to describe Aerith before or after this dress situation here. But it's going to take a while to put on the dress, and we can't just sit there and wait. You know, we have other stuff to do. And this whole section was basically just a bunch of side quests until we picked up Aerith again. And, you know, we got to go around Walmart a little bit, do a couple of, you know, whatever quests. There was some interesting stuff as the side quests went on. And then, of course, you know, we get further to the end of the chapter, and there's even more interesting stuff that happens too. So, a good amount. This was a ridiculously long chapter. There was no world where I was ever going to complete this in 1 week. I thought that like maybe I was close at the end last time. Nope, there was still so much left. So many hours put into this one chapter.
Yeah, if you were close, I would have been like, can you squeeze in like one more hour and finish this up? But
yeah, we were
not. Actually, you were in a great stopping point, and there was still plenty for us to talk about this week, and so that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, so these side quests that happened, first of all, it's just Cloud running solo. As we said before, we lost Aerith. Aerith is, you know, staying back, getting the dress. Tifa is still in Don Corneo's mansion. It's just Cloud roaming around Wall Market, and I love the amount of times that we hear I think it was Chocobo Sam say like, oh, a boy's nest. Sorry, a boys' night in Wall Market. You know, we get struck by Sam saying that. And we do. We get our little boys' night in Wall Market here. How fun. And I am doing... I believe you said before that there were either quests that you could take from Sam or from Madam M. Mine came from Sam. I don't know how that was determined or whatever, but we got quests from Sam. I did not like most of the quests from Sam. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe Madam M had better side quests than Sam did. I don't know. But our the first thing we kind of had to go do here, and I'm not going to lie to you, Zed, I think I did this wildly out of order. But we encountered Johnny. Johnny is just showing up all over the friggin' place. Yes. Why is he here? Why is he such a major part of this whole thing? He is involved in every step we take this chapter. It makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
Johnny's a nothing character. We literally were like moments away from murdering him earlier in this game. And now here he is following us around like a lost dog, hopelessly in love with Tifa. Like, what are we doing here, Johnny? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So one thing that I was told as I was streaming it this time is that if you follow Johnny the first time that you see him when he comes running out of Madame M's shop, I think that locks you into Sam's side quests.
Okay.
But, like, how are you going to see him running and not find out where he's going?
Yeah, yeah, how do you not follow him there? Like, I thought that was what the game wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm. So you're much more likely to get Sam side quests on a first playthrough, I think. I was actively trying to get Madame M's on hard mode because you can get more of the stuff you need to complete the game if you do her side quests. But I ended up with Chocobo Sam's too, even though I chose the expensive massage course and I said no dice to hit Sam's coin flip. But I followed Johnny, my fatal mistake.
Yeah, it's everyone's fatal mistake. Never follow Johnny, seriously. You know, we started off with Johnny, and then the first thing that I did, and I feel like this is a real highlight for this game here, I participated in the squat off.
Yes.
We went to do some squats at the, I don't even know if I want to call it a gym, but like, you know, some kind of, you know, bodybuilder club. Because there was very little like gym element happening. It was really just like how much, you know, how little clothing can we wear and how much can we flex.
A lot of gyms are like that.
Fair enough. So we go do a squat off against Ronnie. We have Ronnie over here, and Zed, let me just say, and you may want to, you know, cover your child's ears here if you're listening. What a bulge. Oh, my God. They really went hard with Ronnie. And when I say went hard, I mean went hard with Ronnie. Oh, my goodness. This man was exploding. Oh, I mean, it was ridiculous how they, like, really... And there was a couple shots where they kind of zoomed in on it too. They're like, they really, Ronnie is not lacking.
He's in his little like unitard onesie, like old school gymnastics.
Yeah.
Uniform. And it does not, yeah, it does not leave much of anything to the imagination.
No, shall we say. It doesn't leave a single thing to the imagination. Literally a whole line of my notes is just Ronnie's bulge in all caps. Just like, oh my God.
Ronnie's been talking all this smack. So yeah, you gotta lay down the law.
Oh, well, we laid down something. Certainly the squatting competition right there. I absolutely destroyed Ronnie in the squatting competition. Yeah. He's so bad at it. Like, you would think. Like,
yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
It really is. Ronnie, admittedly, you know, Ronnie's going to make the list. Let's just call a spade here, okay? Ronnie's certainly going to make the top 10. He would have been higher had he done more than, like, 7 squats in a minute. Like, this is your whole thing. You're challenging me to a squat contest. It could have been any kind of contest. We could have, like, lifted weights. There could have been almost anything here. You challenge me to squats, and then you put up those numbers? Like, there's no way Cloud is even good at squats, just like looking at his body. He has a very weird, like, lanky body. I don't know the exact number, but it was a lot. Like, I more than like quadrupled whatever his number was. It wasn't even close. those kind of mechanics, though, because this is not the only time we're going to get those kind of mechanics of like a series of buttons that you're trying to press in time or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. That is like truly one of my favorite things. And so I just destroyed him. And that was our first little side quest, was just going on a little squad competition. And I just wrecked him to pieces. So sorry, Ronnie. I feel bad. You're doing fine though. Like, you're very well endowed. I like you'll be fine. I promise.
Yeah, he's gonna be all right. He's just got to keep training. That's the whole point.
Yeah, they do have to keep training. So did you have any like reaction to Ronnie and his balds the first time you played? Like that? I mean, they really.
I gotta say, I guess not.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I'm all in on Jules because I adore Jules. So I okay. think that's where all my focus went. See, and just yeah. kicking the butts of these dumb boys.
Yes. I wish I could have done more. Like, were there more squad competitions available to do? Like, could I have progressed the ladder here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay, well, I didn't. Maybe next time. Who knows?
Yeah, because then you can do the squad off against the other guy. And then you can face Jules.
Oh.
I believe that's how it goes.
I'm not going to lie to you that Jules did very little for me. It might have just been like he was in the shadow literally of Ronnie's bulge. But like, I don't know. Jules did not do it.
Listen, non-binary icon Jules. I will not hear this slander.
There's no slander. Just saying, if I'm looking at the two things side by side, I don't know. Okay. and then... we had a whole sequence of events here. The clothing store. We started the clothing store because the guy who owns this is very complicated and convoluted. This is like,
yeah.
like this took me on a journey here, and I don't even know that my notes are that good here. But the clothing store's owner's son.
Yeah.
The clothing store's owner's son is still at the clothing store. He's the one who gives us this quest. We're talking to him the first time. He says his dad, the owner, is at the bar and just like won't come back or is getting drunk or whatever. My first question, who cares? Let the man be at the bar. Why do we have to go through this whole process? He's just at the bar. Like, whatever. So
this is largely a callback to the original game. Where the things that you're doing in these side quests are the things that you had to do in the original game to get Cloud's dress. You know, you had to go get the wig from the people in the gym. To get the dress, you had to go, you go to the clothing store, but then you do have to go find the guy who actually owns the clothing store, and getting him to come back is like a whole process. I would say it is not this elaborate of a process originally, but... that is where this is coming from.
It is so convoluted. So then we go to the bar to get his dad, who is, again, just like drunk at the bar, whatever. He tells us that he has lost his inspiration.
Yes.
Who knows what that means at this point? All he says is that he lost his inspiration. Also, I should say, Johnny is with us this whole time.
Yeah, he's going to accompany us on this whole mission and be absolutely no help.
No help whatsoever. He's going to crack some witty comments. The one comment that I really did like was right here when he was like, oh, yeah, we'll help get it back. Oh, what's inspiration? And so he's like very confused what's going on here. Me too, Johnny. I don't know what he's talking about. And I don't even think he really explains it to us right here. All he says is that he lost it to the restaurant owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a thing. There's some whatever thing he lost is his inspiration. And so we're like, okay, whatever. This, you know, we have to go to another situation here, whatever. And so we then have to go to the restaurant. See, this is really getting a lot here already. We have to go to the restaurant. Where the restaurant owner says, oh, my food is shit. and why is that? Who knows? Could it be the fridge? Could it be the stove? Could it be... I don't... There was one more thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe it was like the power supply? Could it be... Who knows? Could be any one of those things. And you, random person who comes in here, is probably the person to choose. And then we get something horrifying. And I mean horrifying. Because I don't even remember what I told him. I was like, the fridge, whatever. I don't care. Who knows what was right and what was wrong there. I don't even think it matters. I picked the fridge. He said, I don't see any problems here. Let me just whip up some food. And Johnny eats it. And we get a screen of all black for at least 10 seconds of Johnny eating the food. And they put in the eating noises. And it is disgusting. It is truly revolting that we get, it's so gross that we get these eating noises here. Why is this in my game, Zed?
You know, they just want you to get the full experience and feel like you're right there with Johnny.
I don't want to be right there with Johnny. I would rather step out of the restaurant and let him eat if Johnny's gonna eat like that. Chew with your mouth closed, Johnny. Oh my god, this was so gross. It was so disgusting. Okay.
Along the way here, we also had to go to the materia shop.
Oh, I thought that was after. See, this is what I'm saying. I think I have all of this like way out of whack here. Because we do have to go to the materia shop where the dude is like just laying down. He's laying down. He's like, oh, or was he the one that sent us to the restaurant? I thought he was the one that sent us to the pharmacy.
No, we have to go to the pharmacy because we went to the restaurant. but it's conceivably the materia shop owner who has the clothing store's owner's inspiration. But yeah, he's just like, I don't know. He's got like an opium den vibe going on in his materia shop. And this is also reminiscent of the original game, because for so much of the time you're in Walmart, if you go to the materia shop, the guy's just like not there, or he's like passed out. I can't remember. I think he's passed out and he's like, I'm sleeping. Go away.
Yes. Because then after the materia shop, and maybe this was before the restaurant then.
And you go to the vending machine.
When we have to go to
the
creepy vending machine at the inn. Okay, so yes, this is what I'm saying. I had that written afterwards. Okay, so we go to the vending machine at the inn for who knows whatever reason. And then we have to like be clicking secret buttons on the vending machine that somehow we just know how to do.
Yeah, I don't know. This makes all of this like, based on your materia levels, stuff does not make a whole lot of sense
to
me.
Based on my materia levels, how does that determine anything? Like, I'm just clicking buttons on a vending machine. L4, let's just get this done with. What are we doing here? And then, you know, we keep going. Then we go back to the materia shop, who then, it was all a ruse because whatever. This is just a shell game of who has the thing. And then we go back to the restaurant. Is that the timeline here?
So you got the sauce from the vending machine.
We got the creepy sauce from the vending. Okay, yep.
To go give to the materia vendor.
Yes.
And then you go back to the restaurant to give the restaurant owner some advice.
Well, the advice is, why is my food shit? And then we figure out which one of the things it is. I picked the fridge, as we talked about already. We get the eating noises. Okay. Johnny gets terribly sick, which was pretty funny. I didn't like the eating noises, but you know.
And then the owner seems to be prepared for this possibility.
Yes.
It seems like maybe it happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give you a medicine voucher thing, and you go to the pharmacist to get the medicine.
It's probably not great if you are that actively prepared for your customers to get food poisoning immediately after eating your food.
Uh-huh. Like in the process of.
Yeah, mid-bowl. Yeah, that's not great. Okay, so then we are at the pharmacist, who was like, oh, I could tend to your friend. We're really not friends. I have to go do a delivery or something like that. And of course, because our side quests never end, we are the ones that have to go do the delivery. We have to go find a person. And this took me forever because I didn't know where I was supposed to be going here. But eventually we head back to the bar. We head back to the bar and find the bathroom, and we give the medicine to the dude in the bathroom.
Yeah. I love that he's like, go on this delivery, but I'm not going to tell you where I was going to go deliver this. Just look for a toilet.
Could be anywhere. Go deliver this somewhere.
Maybe a bathroom nearby, question mark?
Yeah. Probably not the best pharmacist is all I'm going to say here. Just farming out your, you know, deliveries to random people who come in bringing their sick friends. Not great. Okay. So we deliver the thing. We get back. The pharmacist just gives us what the inspiration was. And it turns out it was a VIP card to the Honeybee Inn.
Upsetting.
Really upsetting. Really not what we wanted to see here. We had seen the old man clothing store owner already. His inspiration was the Honeybee Inn.
Scantily clad people of all
genders. Not great. Really not what I wanted to see there. But it's fine. That concludes the first side quest.
Yeah.
That was so long and convoluted, Zed. That was like, it was so painful in the moment because I was just like, I don't know what's going on here. And then there was a point, it was like midway through after the restaurant where I was like, damn, I have to like talk about this in detail. And it's like, I don't know what's going on. There's so many things happening. But that was just the first side quest, because the second side quest is going to be a combat one where we have to go back to the arena and fight some bombs.
Yeah.
I will admit, I did not complete the bomb fight.
Really?
I died too many times, and I was just like, there was no way. Thanksgiving was quickly approaching, and I was like, there's no way I can actually beat this. I just couldn't figure out how to like not take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of points of damage constantly, while doing any kind of damage myself. I could just like run around, but like, I don't know, there was no way that was going to work. So I couldn't beat the bombs. You know, not perfect. One might even say I'm really not even good at these games, but, couldn't beat the bombs. There might've been some trick there. I don't think I can go back at this point until probably the end of the game, but I don't know. I couldn't beat the bombs. So mission failed on this half of the side quest.
Alas, it's not the end of the world. You would have gotten a weapon for Aerith if you had completed it. Yeah, it's this fight is definitely about timing your attacks properly based on what the bombs are doing. So just like perpetually wailing on them does not accomplish what you want it to.
Yeah, and that's the only way I know how to live.
The only way I know how.
Yeah, that's the one bullet in the chamber right there for me. Just let it rip. Okay, so we went back to Madame M's, I think, right? We went back to Madame M's.
Yeah.
And we found Aerith. That's when we picked up Aerith, right? Am I missing something?
Yeah, once you're done with your side quests, or you've decided you're done with your side quests.
Yes.
You're going to go... Well, you're going to go back to Madame M's, but then Johnny needs you to do something else, I think.
Yeah, but I don't remember what the other thing Johnny needed us to do.
Hang on, I'm getting back there.
I don't think Johnny needed us to actually do anything. I think Johnny was just being annoying.
Yeah, because you're headed up... after you confirm you want to check on Aerith, Johnny will interrupt and say he knows where Tifa is. And although Cloud knows too, you will chase him towards Corneo's mansion.
Oh, yeah. He takes us back there. We already knew this, Johnny.
Yeah.
We literally had already been. And
Wait, I can help. I can help. I can help. You can't help.
No, you can't do anything, Johnny. It's really bad. There's no, just FYI, there's no world Johnny ever makes it into the top 10. Just, he's not even close.
I kind of figured.
Yeah, he's not even remotely close. He takes us back to John Cornelius Mansion. We do talk to like the same guy over and over again there, who's just like, man, you really don't want to be, you don't want to go in there. And
Leslie, the head Corneo lackey, is like, dude,
yeah,
you should leave.
You should really not do
this.
And
not keep coming back.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably good advice. But whatever. It's at that point when we kind of, I think we leave, and then we see Aerith come out. Because even though we told Johnny to tell Madame M to tell Aerith to stay there, that didn't happen. Aerith can do whatever she wants. I don't care. Whatever. Aerith is coming out, and she has a plan. But let me just say, before we talk about what this plan is, Aerith's dress, because there's a lot of dresses in this chapter. There's a lot of clothing in this chapter, and you know, Aerith looks stunning. I mean, mm-hmm. oh my god. Like this big long red dress that like it's just ridiculous. It looks insanely good. Like when you say a million gil dress, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. I kind of believe it. I mean, this dress is ridiculous set. Like truly insane.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so you got the best dress because you did all of the side quests in chapter 8 with Aerith.
Oh, okay. Look at us go. Aerith and Cloud, what a team, doing all the side quests. and getting the best dress. Yeah, it looked ridiculously good. And so her plan is to take us back to the Honeybee Inn, which we love to see it. We love going back to the Honeybee Inn. And meet up with Andrea Rodea. Is that the right name here?
Yeah.
Andrea Rodea. What a name, by the way. Let me just say. Awesome. We love the name Andrea Rodea.
Yeah, because we've essentially struck out with Madame M and Chocobo Sam. Or we got Chocobo Sam's endorsement for Aerith, but we still need one more for Cloud. And so our last chance is Andrea Rodea at the Honeybee Inn, who has taken notice of us because of our successes in the Colosseum. So thanks, Madame M, for that, I guess. And we will head to the Honeybee Inn to continue our adventures.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yes. And at the Honeybee Inn, we get there, we get checked in by What's-His-Face, who previously was like, oh, we don't have any openings for like 500 years or whatever. He says, oh, Andre is right back, ready to see you right now. You have to head back.
Go to the stage. And Cloud's like, excuse me?
Just get to the stage right now. And we head back there, and immediately we have like, we are swarmed by honeybee. What do we want to call them? Honeybees? Just like
the front desk guy refers to them as the. Is there a particular honeybee or honey boy or honey girl that you wanted to see?
The honeys. I don't know. Whatever. Sure. We're swarmed by a bunch of them who were just like fawning over Cloud. Oh my goodness, Cloud, your hair or whatever, they're fawning over Cloud, and then they talk about dancing because Cloud needs to put on kind of a show here, put on a little bit of a dance.
The only language Andrea Rodea understands.
Yeah.
The language of dance.
We love to see it. And so we had a little practice session with a dance where basically we're just playing Guitar Hero. Really with our keyboard as the dancing is happening, and it's very fun. It's really, really fun to do this here. I didn't like do any extra practice or whatever, but like the initial, they like give you like an initial tutorial type situation, and it was very, very fun. Cloud was like shaking and grooving, doing some dancing. It was great.
Yeah, my only complaint with this game is that I wish the times you had to hit the button were a little more like tied to the music. They are not particularly like rhythmically relevant at all.
No.
nor is the direction of the buttons connected to the way that, you're moving. It's all pretty arbitrary, but it is fun for sure.
Yeah, it is a little arbitrary, but it was a freaking blast. And so then we meet. Out comes onto the stages. They're putting together this big performance. And I have to say, all of this was really freaking cool, Zed. Like literally all of it front to back from like was the second that Andrea Rodea comes out on the stage. They're like, Ruben, the lights are, you know, great. There's a whole show vibe happening. I loved it so much. And Cloud gets up on the stage and they do this little choreographed dance together as I'm like playing Guitar Hero. And I'm not going to lie, I think I kind of crushed it. As this is like the kind of stuff that I really love in video games, this like timing stuff, even though like you're saying it's not to the music, you know, it was still fun to like
see. You still have to time the buttons right to the visuals on the screen, even if they're not directly connected to the beat of the music.
This was awesome. Like the choreographed dance together, this was probably like one of the highlights of the game so far. Like overall, this was great. And they had some fun moves together. They were like, there was some chemistry on that stage.
Yep. There definitely is. There's a lot of very close contact. There's some break dancing.
Oh yeah.
There's it's an eclectic routine to say the least.
Also, it lasted a little bit longer than I thought it was going to last.
Uh-huh.
Not in a bad way, but in like a, wow, they're like actually letting us do this for a little bit kind of way, which I really liked and appreciated. So, good, you know,
Aerith's in the crowd cheering you on.
Oh, yeah. Aerith loved what I was doing. She was losing her mind out there. She was, oh, yeah, it was great. The whole crowd was losing their mind. I don't know if this happened right after or if I'm getting these mixed up as well, but I also got earrings for this. He's like, yeah, he gave me earrings. I don't know if there's any use to those though. They didn't seem to actually have any stats. So whatever. Maybe we, you know, buy a little bit more expensive earrings next time for your dance partners. Thank you, Andrea. When we get out. And so we did it successfully enough. I don't know that you could fail this because I don't think they're going to make you do it again, but whatever, we did it successfully enough that Cloud now gets a dress.
Yes.
And let me just say, it is the ugliest dress I have ever seen in my life. Oh my goodness, it looked terrible.
So which dress did you get?
Imagine... I don't even know. It was like a black and white dress. It literally looked like Cloud was doing a Mrs. White cosplay from Clue. I don't know, but also like quasi butler vibes. Like I don't know. It was I didn't like take a picture or anything like that, but it looked terrible. And his hair looked even worse. It didn't even make any sense how like it went down like that. Like we've seen Cloud's hair, is they're just like more extra. I don't even
they
know,
just like clipped in some pigtail braids,
I guess. But like if you're gonna add in hair, why are you doing it that way? This looks so bad, Zed. Like truly so bad. It like it was almost revolting how bad Cloud looked. And it was not what you wanted to see out of this. I thought I had nailed the performance, and then he comes out and it's like, oh, time to do the big makeover here, right in the middle of the stage, and they have a whole production or whatever, people are coming in, and then Cloud is revealed, and I'm literally sitting here like, oh.
Yeah.
That's what we get?
It's pretty wild. Like, the dresses that are options for Aerith are so different than the dresses that are options for Cloud. All three of which seem to have come from like 200 to 400 years ago. Well, her dresses are all very modern. So you didn't get my favorite dress, but none of them are great.
Yeah, there's no way that I didn't get the worst dress here. Like, there's just no way that they put in a dress that's worse than the one that I got. And if they did, that's just insane. Wow. Like truly, as I'm like thinking about this, because we had to like go run around town and everyone was like complimenting both Cloud and Aerith on the dresses as we're running back towards Don Corneo's mansion. I'm just like, man, this looks so bad. How are you? Like, how are you doing this? But we got our endorsement from Andrea Rodea.
Yeah.
We got what we came there for. Eris Plain.
So you got the simple black dress because you didn't complete both of the side quests.
The bombs got me.
Yep. That's why you're in the black dress.
Well, it makes sense because it's so bad. Yeah, and so we're heading back to Don Corneo's mansion. Aerith's plan is working to a T. We get there. The same dude, I think you said his name was Leslie, is yep. like, all right, well, here you go. Two pretty girls walking in for the Don to add into his audition. Mm-hmm. And we head in. We get in. You know, we go up the stairs into the room. And then we meet up with Tifa, who is there. And I'm not going to lie, I thought that this encounter would be a little bit more awkward with Cloud and Aerith coming to meet Tifa. I kind of thought there would be like a little more tension there, but everyone seemed cool with each other. There was no, I wanted maybe a little bit more drama here, but you know, maybe we'll get it later. And so we get in there and like basically the first thing that happens is that we get gassed. And they're, you know, we get gassed, we go unconscious, and they're going to take us out. And Don Corneo is going to pick which one of us he wants. Brutal opening here. We do not love to be shoved in a room and then gassed. That is not ideal.
Rough times.
Not ideal.
Like, you've all come here consensually, more effectively. Like, yeah. And in this case, particularly extremely consensually. You've actively had to do a lot of work to get here.
It took us a lot.
And now there's trickery afoot.
Yeah. I just don't understand like what he thought. Maybe it was because of all of our stuff. I don't know. Like, what did he think was going to happen here? Like, why could we not have just walked into the room and picked? It just made no sense. But there's Don Corneo, I guess.
Yeah. They have to go put you down in the like creepy basement room for no clear reason so that then you can come back upstairs.
Yeah. We have to get back up there. And so then our next scene here is Don Corneo picking who he wants. And this is our introduction to Don Corneo.
Yeah, here
as
he
we
is.
See him. What a disgusting man. The hair, whatever is going on here, is so gross.
Yeah.
His really head upsetting. Looks like a deformed egg. And like it was just so disgusting. And then the thing that I wrote down most of all was his laugh. What kind of, I mean, he's like a friggin' Scooby-Doo. Like he's a ridiculous laugh here going on. And it is very unsettling. He has a gross laugh here. Scooby-Dooing it up the whole time, and he would laugh at the times that wouldn't even make sense. Like he wasn't even laughing at like his own jokes. He would just laugh at like random things that people said that were not supposed to be funny or weren't funny at all. He's a weird dude. Don Corneo is a weird dude. It definitely, you know, the kind of person that you could easily see gassing three what he believes to be women to choose between one of them. Anyway, he picks, and of course somehow out of who knows where or how, he picks Cloud. Uh-huh. He picks the ugliest of the three by a margin of infinity. Like, truly, you know, Tifa's looking still amazing in the blue dress that she has on. Aerith is looking freaking drop-dead gorgeous in the magnificent red dress that she is on. And Cloud is looking like a freaking pilgrim over here. just terrible. And he picks Cloud. How is this even possible that like what the thing that you are known for is like picking all of these beautiful women to come in and like choose between, and you pick Cloud? What kind of taste do you have? Why are you, I mean, oh my
God. Don Corneo said, what about the big girls?
Well,
she's a very timely reference to a Survivor episode title for those of you who are wondering, listening to this in the future. That was last week's episode title.
It's not even like Cloud is one of the big girls. I don't know. It just is ridiculous. And Cloud was like giving him some lip too. I forget exactly what he said, but he, you know, he said
something. Yeah, he's not really playing along.
No, he doesn't do a very good job. Neither would I. I get it. Especially after you just got like, you know, gassed. And so It literally blew my mind when he picked Cloud, because I remember in the original game, it wasn't set on like who was picked. And so I kind of thought, okay, that's probably how it is here too. Like maybe someone could get picked depending on, especially because like the dress disparity was so big, which now makes me wonder, why is there any dress disparity at all if he's always going to pick Cloud? Because if this is not the situation where you don't pick Cloud, there is not a situation where you don't pick Cloud.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why we went through the whole rigmarole to get all the dresses, but whatever. Okay, so he picks Cloud again somehow, which means the other two are now being sent back and all of his lackeys can do with them what they will. Really disgusting.
Yeah, leftovers happening. Courtesy of the Don or something like that is what gets said as they're brought in.
Yeah, the Don provides. Yeah, very it's gross. Just so gross. Luckily it does not take long for the two of them to just be like, let's kick everyone's ass, you know, let's just, you know, take swift care of them. Which I did like. My maybe one complaint is that I would have liked to have like done it. Like I would have loved to have played as Tifa here and just like punch them all, but it's cool. It was a good cutscene. And they kick everyone's butt there as Cloud is still remaining in there. And then we do actually get to play as, I forget if it's Tifa or Aerith, whatever, it doesn't really matter. We get to play as one of them as they're heading out. There's a chest in there somehow. And we're just kind of running around. We do get to beat up some people.
It's very fun to fight as the combo of the two of them.
It is, yeah. And I feel like we're not going to get to do it a lot. I mean, whatever. It's like, you know, Cloud is our main character, but we do get to do it here, and I do like it. Also, underreported story here. Leslie, I think, is the one, right? The guy who came in, he gives us all his stuff back, and he's like, "All right, just finish the mission," or whatever. He's like, you know, he seems to be somewhat on board with the cause. I don't know that he's like doing a ton, but you know, he did something. He gave us our stuff back and said, you know, give us some encouragement. Good for him, I guess. I don't know. you know, there's got to be people that work under Don Corneo that hate him. So, okay. Then we get back to Don Corneo's room as he is trying to seduce Cloud on the bed. It's very gross. He's laughing a lot. Cloud is, you know, on the bed kind of giving him some lip, and Cloud continues to object and object and object. Don's like, "Oh, get in here and teach her a lesson." And in comes in Tifa and Aerith. Boom. Game over, Don. Your time is done. And then we get they did not really change the dialogue much here, as the threats to Don Corneo have reemerged.
Yeah.
They are going to I didn't write down what all three of them were, but I believe one of them was smash it. There was like a tear it off, and then there was maybe a cut it off.
Yeah, they're gonna do like a bop it routine.
Yeah. I don't think they're gonna bop it.
Smash it, twist it, pull it.
Yeah.
Oh, da, 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 da,
da. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's not going to be good. I would not want to be Don Corneo's nether regions for a lot of reasons, but especially... Yeah,
I was going to say kind of in general statement.
But especially here in this situation where he is being confronted by all three of them, I do... Okay. I do love... because Cloud is still in distress, but the other two have changed at this point, and they bring in Cloud's clothes, and he just changes right there. He just like changes clothes right there, and then the line afterwards is the Don saying, "Wait a minute, you're a boy." And it's like, what was the changing situation? Could we not have waited like 4 seconds here? I don't know, like, or go behind a little one of those whatever makeshift walls was or whatever. How it just changes right out in the open, I guess. Maybe he has nothing to be ashamed of, but who knows? We haven't seen, you know. Okay. Let's see. There's not a lot left here. Because after this point, the Don is getting very, very cocky. He's like giving us the information. And so we find out, I hope I wrote this down right. The person... Okay, so we know, what am I trying to say here? The Don was hiring people to look to go find Barrett, basically. And we want to know the person who was behind all of that. And the Don says it was Heidegger. I think I have this map right. And so Heidegger, who we have seen on previous cutscenes in at the Shinra Capital talking to the president and whatnot, even in a couple of this, we haven't really talked about much about the cutscenes because, you know, they haven't really come into play yet. But we have seen him in cutscenes before. And so Heidegger is the one responsible for what's going on here, more or less. He's the one responsible for sending the people to go into Sector 7, 9, whatever, to go find Barrett. That's what we learn from the Don. I don't think we get anything else from the Don. I think that was just like the main piece of information here. Until, of course, we, a la Final Fantasy VII, as we are, you know, about to go in, the Don's like, oh, one more thing. And he basically sends us down his trapdoor after, you know, why are villains always so confident or whatever, he says. Or when are villains more so confident? And I think we answered like when they know they've already won, because we know that he's already won because there's this very obvious trap door underneath their feet. I don't understand how you don't notice this. It just makes no sense. It is glaringly obvious how like this trap door situation. And you would also think the Don probably has some, you know, tricks and
tricks up his sleeve.
There's probably something there. And yet we don't notice anything. We are absolutely oblivious. And we get sent down the trapdoor into the sewers where he, you know, is laughing his you know, all the while.
Final Fantasy games love a sewer.
Love a sewer. We're back to the sewers. And that is where the chapter ends, as we get sent down into the sewers from Don Quinero's mansion in the Wall Market. We're done with the Wall Market, I suppose, at least for now.
Yeah.
Into the sewers to see where the rest of the adventure goes.
Correct. So when we come back next time, you will do this chapter in the sewers. One of my least favorites, however, I really adore the Aerith and Tifa interactions throughout the chapter. So that makes it a big bright spot for me in its own way.
Okay.
So you have that to look forward to. And then we'll also do chapter 11, which is called Haunted.
Ooh.
Where you get to go to my favorite place, the train graveyard.
Oh no. Yikes. I have bad memories of that is all I know.
Yeah, so we'll do those two chapters for next week. I think we are now going to break things up a little differently than we did when I was playing, but I know we have a big chapter coming up that we will need to do separately, so I'm setting us up for that in the future. So chapters 10 and 11 for next week. But before that, Adam, you want to hit us with your probably significantly updated rankings?
They are pretty updated here. So Zed, would you rather we go top to bottom or bottom to top?
Always bottom to top.
Always bottom to top. I see you're a Ronnie fan too. Okay. Number 10. We have Rude still on the list, hanging on by a thread. I don't know. The glasses are just, I have to keep them on there. I couldn't take them off. There's no way. Number 9, Biggs. What a fall.
Wow. What a seriously. Fall from
Biggs. We just haven't seen him in forever. I don't know. Are we ever going to see those people again? Like we spent so much time with them in the early chapters and now they're just gone. Same thing with number 8, Jesse, who again was still so high on the list, the past couple podcasts, but now we just haven't seen him in so long that I want to go back. I want to spend more time with them, but we just aren't.
Yep.
We need to find him. Number 7, Miss Folia, still on the list. the house mother. I was really disappointed we didn't see her in the Honeybee Inn because I feel like that would have been really fun to like have Cloud and Andrea were dancing together and then have Miss Folia kind of be in the background
also
there.
Be there.
That would have been really fun. Number 6, Chocobo Sam. Still pretty solid in the list. I love that deep voice when he's talking like this. Got that Sam Elliott voice there. Number 5, Madame M. Still fairly high on the list there. A little mysterious as well. I really like Madame M. Number 4, we're getting really up there, Zed. Number 4 is Tifa. Love Tifa here. The blue dress is fantastic. I love, you know, how she's the cutscene had her kicking a lot of butt. in there. Aerith is obviously more of a magic user, so Tifa got the kind of the full force of that butt kicking there. I'm excited to see more Tifa going forward. It seems like we're going to spend some more time with Tifa as well. Mm-hmm. Number three, Ronnie! Ronnie is number three! We absolutely love to see it out there. Ronnie was absolutely serving this week. Oh my goodness. This man. Oh yeah. I don't know how long Ronnie's going to last here. I don't think we'll see Ronnie again, but like, man can get it
for the time that you had him.
For the time, I wish. Okay. Number two. Andrea Rodea.
Yeah.
So many new people joining. Oh my goodness. I love everything that we got from Andrea. Like the music, the dancing, the style, the vibes, everything. The one thing I will say, and it's the only reason why they aren't number one, could we not have found a better dress for Cloud? I mean, truly, like, truly that, like, I understand that it was kind of my fault.
Better dress for Cloud, Adam.
Listen, I understand that it was kind of my fault, but at the same time, like, is that really, like, the lowest base dress we could do? I mean, come on. And then number one, with a bullet, I think there's a decent amount of space here between these, is Aerith. Aerith is number one here. I thought the dress was absolutely fantastic. I loved her dialogue this kind of half chapter here. It's her plan that kind of gets us in there, even though I don't know if it's like largely successful because we end up in the sewers, but we do get Tifa, so you know,
what you came for.
Yeah,
we just maybe didn't go end up out where we wanted the to front go. Door. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, if we wanted to, you know, I guess we went down the. There's a backdoor joke to be made there with Ronnie. But anyway.
We don't need to.
It's fine. Aerith is number one. Now, notably, we lost three people from our top 10 from this past week. We lost Wedge. Rip Wedge. I'm sorry. We lost Barrett, who, again, we just haven't seen in so long. We haven't seen him in so long. Uh-huh. And we lost Cloud. We lost Cloud again. I think Cloud has been on and off the list now twice. That dress was horrendous. It was hideous. There's no way Cloud is in the top 10 here. We'll see if he comes back, but I don't know. I don't see it. This top 10 is getting pretty stacked with people that I don't know. I don't know how much movement there's going to be going forward, but we'll see. So that is our updated top 10 attractiveness rankings here for
Final Fantasy VII. Bias.
Oh yeah, very weird for recency bias. Yeah, absolutely. You have to, you know, you just have to. It's I think it's more fun that way. So
I mean, I don't make the rules, you make the rules. It's your list,
so. I don't think I make the rules. I think the list makes the rules itself. It's a divine intervention type situation.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's what we have for you in the world of Final Fantasy this week. Adam, I know you have many other things going on Posho Recaps. What do you got?
Yeah, there's a lot happening. So on Posho Recaps, Jess Sterling and I are doing Mythic Quest Season 3. We are a couple episodes into that. This most recent episode had Lindy on it, which is very exciting. Speaking of Lindy, her and Todd, as well as I am covering One Indescribable Podcast, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, we have two episodes left of the series. And this week's episode, we are going to have the incredible Taylor on it for the penultimate episode. So two episodes left of that entire series, which is very, very sad. And then also we have Doctor Who podcast with Kevin Mateo and Melissa Woodward. We just did Girl in the Fireplace this week. Very excited. We're going through
this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Go listen to it. It's very, very fun. We're in the David Tennant era and we're having a blast over there. So that's what I have going on. And you can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1.
Weren't you also doing, was Cabinet of Curiosities you too?
Oh, yes.
I'm not even listening to that podcast, and I was pretty sure that was you.
You should be listening to that podcast. Myself and Todd Librarian are doing Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. It's not normally a show that I would really like. It's much more of the kind of horror genre, but Todd loves it, and it's very fun. It's a very fun podcast where Todd basically explains everything that I don't understand, because there are a lot of things that I don't understand. So go check that out. I think we just dropped like episode 5 this past week, and then we'll be doing 6, 7, 8 next week as well. So go check that out. That's also on Posho Recaps in the Binge Show Recaps feed.
Amazing. I don't have anything else to promote. You can come hang out with me at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. I started playing Final Fantasy IV again on Thanksgiving morning to keep folks company while they were cooking their colonial food. And I am doing, what I will promote is I am doing a fundraiser on my Twitch right now for Lenape Nation, because I live on the unceded lands of the Lenape people here in New York. So if you want to donate to that, you can come hang out with me on Twitch and very easily click that donate button. Something to be thinking about at all times, but especially right now as we are effectively celebrating genocide. Okay, well, that's a real downer way to end this podcast. But playing Final Fantasy IV has been really, really fun to go back to. That was the first thing I ever streamed on Twitch just over a year ago. And now I'm doing it with way more bells and whistles because I'm better at it. So come see my face instead of just my phone screen at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. And I'm on Twitter, if that still exists. We keep making that joke every day. One day it'll not be funny anymore, probably. You can find me on Twitter at hardrockhope also. And we will see you next week with chapters 10 and 11 of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Until then, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.